to American Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. The Supreme Court is going to be hearing an interesting case in its next term, a case that could affect governments all across the United States, not just the federal government, but state governments and county governments and city governments and town councils as well. The case involves two women named Susan Galloway and Linda Stevens, who are challenging the town of Greece, New York, in its town council hearings. Whenever they have a city council meeting in Greece, New York, they have a clergyman get up and say a prayer beforehand. But these women say that's unconstitutional, at least the way Greece, New York does it. Here to discuss this is Greg Lipper, who's a senior litigator at Americans United for Separation of Church and State, an organization that is representing Susan and Linda in this case. Greg, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What is it that Greece, New York is doing wrong in its city council meetings?
What Greece is doing wrong is basically affiliating itself with a particular religion, in this case, Christianity. The Supreme Court has said that county councils, town councils can begin their meetings with prayers as long as these prayers aren't exploited to affiliate itself with one religion. And here, virtually all of the prayer givers have been Christian clergy, and virtually all of the prayers have been Christian prayers. Not only that, but council members have taken steps to affiliate themselves with the prayer givers and the prayers. In one case, a clergyman said that anyone who objected to the practice was a member of a, quote, ignorant minority. And if you think about it, you know, if you're appearing at one of these meetings and about to stand up and ask the council members for a zoning variance or, you know, speak against a proposed initiative, you're going to feel an enormous amount of pressure to join in to this particular type of prayer that you may not agree with, that you may not want to participate in. And so really the problem here is the town, it's not the practice of prayers per se, it's the fact that it's consistently Christian prayer givers giving Christian prayers and which town council members are affiliating themselves with.
When you say that the council members are affiliating themselves with certain people who have been, the clergymen who have been doing this, what do you mean by affiliating with?
So let me give you a couple of examples. In some cases, for instance, one of the pastors stood up and the council member referred to him, this is my pastor here. Most of the clergy who deliver the prayers have been given the title of Chaplain of the Month and a commemorative plaque. There have been, in the entire 10-year period that this litigation has focused on, there have been only three non-Christian clergy ever, and that was actually right after we filed the lawsuit. And these non-Christian clergy were not given the Chaplain of the Month title. Members of the board, some of them will do the, make the sign of the cross during the prayers. In one case, board members have talked about, particular church events at the pastor's church. So there's a lot of steps here that the board has taken. Not only is the board not disclaiming its support for the particular religious message, but there are a number of steps in which the board is suggesting that it's right on board with the Christian message. And so again, if I'm sitting in the audience about to stand up and ask a board member for a discretionary zoning variance, and I see this going on, I'm going to feel quite a lot of pressure to join in, a prayer I may not agree with.
The First Amendment to the United States Constitution has something called the Establishment Clause in it, which basically says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. But the first word in there is Congress. Have the courts ruled that that means all government entities?
Yes, they have. There's actually, it's a fairly, as you might imagine, a fairly convoluted doctrine governing when the amendments in the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, other things like that, when they apply to state and local governments. Virtually all of them have been ruled to apply to state and local governments, and the Establishment Clause in a Supreme Court case in 1940, the Supreme Court case said that the Establishment Clause applies to state and local governments. So that is actually one thing that that both sides of this case agree on. I think everyone agrees. Although Justice Thomas has actually written some concurring separate opinions saying he thinks it should only apply to the federal government. But otherwise, I think most of the Supreme Court is in agreement. and both sides of this case are in agreement that the Establishment Clause, the protections for freedom of religion, apply to state and local governments just as much as they do the federal government. And that makes sense, actually, not beyond a mere sort of technical legal standpoint. A lot of day-to-day governance, a lot of community activity, a lot of civic participation happens at the state and local level. And so if state and local governments were allowed to ostracize people based on their religious beliefs, then the American ideals of religious liberty would be seriously undermined.
So the fact that everybody on a town's council or a legislative body of any kind, they may all be Christian, they still are representing people in their town who, even if there is only one or two atheists, one or two Muslims, one or two Jews, one or two Buddhists, they still are bound by the law, the Constitution, you're saying, to represent everybody and not be, in that particular situation, a representative of any particular religion like Christianity.
That's exactly right. And I think there, you know, you made a couple of points there, not in that capacity, right? Members of the town council have every right, just like any other American, to, you know, to pray in private, to pray out on the street, to attend church, to, you know, lead church groups, to sing in the church choir, to, you know, infuse religion in their daily lives. But here, you know, when they're, you know, speaking behind the town seal in their official capacity, they have a slightly different obligation. And the other point you made is also a good one. Even if it's just a couple of people from a different religion, they are respected members of the community as well. And the second thing is, and I think even in small homogenous towns, I suspect that there is more religious diversity than people think. One of the problems here is, in a lot of places, is people feel pressure not to speak up and not to challenge majority practices, and you could see what happened here. Two people spoke up, and then one of the next meetings, a pastor gets up and accuses them of being a part of an ignorant minority. So there's often a lot of pressure on religious minorities to stay quiet. And so I think even in very small towns with very strong Christian identities, there is almost certainly more religious diversity than people realize. And so it's important for town leaders to respect that religious diversity.
Do you have any idea how in Congress, when a chaplain gets up at the beginning of each session and does the invocation, are the percentages anywhere near the same percentages as in the rest of the United States when it comes to which religion that clergyman is from?
I'm actually not sure offhand. I mean, obviously, even Congress could probably have more diversity than it does right now.
But how would you work out the formula, I guess, is what I'm asking, whether it's Congress or the City Council of Greece, New York? How do you figure out, okay, well, you know what, we're all Christian, we don't know any rabbis, but we should probably bring in X number. What's the formula?
Well, it's not so much a precise mathematical formula, but there are a number of ways, you know, you can set these things up to ensure more religious diversity. And actually other areas, other towns, counties have done these things that the town of Greece has not. For instance, broadly advertising, looking up, different religious bodies in the town, in the county. One thing that's going on here is that the town of Greece never publicized the fact that it is open to other religions to deliver prayers, and it certainly never enacted a formal policy. You know, there have been other bodies in other jurisdictions, that whose practices have been upheld that actually did publicize that they wanted, diverse religious leaders delivering the prayers, made an effort to identify them, advertise them. Things like that, go a long way to ensuring that you actually are getting meaningful religious diversity. And so, it's one thing to say after you've been sued, oh, well, we let everyone in. But it's quite another to actually make an effort to do that, to really ensure that you're getting diversity.
By the way, I just checked, in the 112th Congress, 97% of the prayers used to open house sessions were Christian. 97% in Congress. So maybe, would they be affected? Would Congress and other governmental organizations be affected by the Supreme Court ruling next session?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think there's an important difference between Congress and a local body.
I've only got 10 seconds, Greg.
Okay. So you can go to Congress as an observer, but you're not likely to, you know, need to get in front of Congress and say, you know, vary my zoning ordinance.
Yeah.
So there's really a degree of pressure in the local government that isn't present with Congress.
Greg Lipper from Americans United for Separation of Church and State here on America Weekend. America.